This morning, we will be covering morning session one, message two. So I'll share first, cover the first two Roman numerals, and then Brother John will cover the last two Roman numerals. Excuse me. So I can't believe this is only the second day of the training. Does it feel like it's been a week already? These days are so packed, especially the mornings. Well, yesterday, I had a chance to ask some of you students, what would you like to get out of this training? For some of you, it's not your first time, and so you know what to expect in the trainings. And so the answers I got, I was quite impressed. So some of you mentioned that you would like to, after this training, would like to be different. You would like to have some kind of change in your being. You don't want to go back the same. That's very good. Some of you have mentioned that you would like to learn how to apply what you learned here at home. It's easier to enjoy the Lord together with all 180 of you or so when we're singing, when we're, you know, getting into the Word. But after this week is over, you'll need to go home. You'll go back to work or internship or school. It's a lot harder. How do you apply this back home? How do you enjoy this back home? How do you enjoy the Lord back home? So if you also have this desire, then please pay close attention. We want to try to address this in this message. In 1 week, you can only do so much. You can do a lot, but you can only do so much as far as your changing you. Brothers, if you were to exercise for 1 week, would that change your whole physique? Would you be incredibly buff? 1 week will not change you, but it can be a start of a change. You know what I mean? Sisters, if you eat really healthy, regimented for 1 week, will that totally change your complexion? Probably not, but it would be a very good start. This week, we want to equip you so that you can practice when you go back. If you exercise in the physical realm, if you exercise and you eat well for a week, that'll do something. But if you do it for a whole year, that'll be a remarkable change. People will notice the difference. So this week, we want to equip you so that you can take what you learned here and practice it when you go back. Then you can enjoy the Lord in your at home, at work, at school, and then also you'll notice a huge change. Then when you come back next year, hopefully you'll come back next year, there'll be a big change. Amen. So one thing we want to equip you, and one thing we want you to go back with, is musing on the Lord. Let's read the title of this message together. Underline or circle the word muse. This morning we're going to focus, for the next 30 or so minutes, we're going to focus on this word muse. It's a practice that you may not have heard of and you may not have done before. It's not quite pray reading. It's musing. So what is musing? Well, if you start with a secular definition in the dictionary, musing is just to think in a very careful and thoughtful way. It can also be defined as to speak very carefully about something. So I think the active word here is thoroughly and carefully. Have you ever read the word in a very thorough way or a very careful way? To read the word depends on your attitude. What you get out of the word depends on your attitude. If you just read it quickly, you may not get that much from it. If you read it very carefully, thoroughly, in a musing way, you will get a lot. Amen. Not only will you get a lot at that time, it will sustain you for the rest of the day if you do this right. Okay, we wanted to show you and we wanted to help you to practice and to know how to muse on the Word. So there's a verse, Roman numeral 1 has a verse, which is from Joshua 1:8. Before we read this verse, let me give you a little background. So in Joshua, chapter 1, it begins with the children of Israel. They had left Egypt, gone through the wilderness. Now they're about to enter into the land that God had promised them. So Moses had led them, but now Moses had died. And now his servant, Joshua, or his attendant, Joshua, has risen up. And so Jehovah is speaking to him. And he says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, has died. Now rise up and take the people with you, cross the river Jordan, and enter into the land that I have promised you. Be courageous, be strong, don't turn from the left, and don't turn to the right. Just enter into the land, and I will give it to you. Every step you take in this land will be yours. And so that's the preface of this verse. Then he speaks this verse. Let's read this verse together. Roman numeral 1, Joshua 1:8. Isn't it interesting that the Lord told Joshua to take the land, but before you take the land, in order to take the land, you have to do what? Muse on the law all the time. And so as I was looking at this outline, I was wondering, why did the brothers choose this verse on musing? There's a lot of other, I think, better verses on musing, like in Psalms. So I didn't quite understand why they would choose this verse besides the fact that it has the word muse in it until I started musing on this verse. And let me walk you through the process of musing. So when I was musing this verse, I read, this book of the law. And I considered, what book of the law? They had the law written out to them as a book. So they had the law with them. Today we have the same book, but our book is complete. Our book is the Bible. And so they had the book, which is the word, which contained the law. And what did they need to do with it? It should not depart from their mouth. And I considered thoroughly or carefully, what does that mean? That means it should always be in their speaking, in their mouth. All the time they're speaking when they're talking to one another. It should somehow be related to the law, the book. And they should do it or muse upon it day and night. And I thought about this. It doesn't just say on your free time or when you have time, at meal times. No, it says day and night. And I thought, how do you do it at night? When do you get to sleep? And I was considering this, and I realized, in my experience, when I muse on the word enough, I dream about it at night. So, for example, when I have to muse on the word and get into the word to share, like today, usually the night before, my dream is about sharing the word. And those are my best dreams. Because at night, I'm musing on the word. It's in my dreams, and it's just percolating in my being. So, Joshua and the people of Israel, they needed to muse on the word day and night. Why? So that they may be certain to do according to all that is written in it. To do the word, to do the law, you have to muse on it. It's not just a matter of read it and then try to remember and then try to do it. No, it's musing. As you muse, as you chew on it, you consider it when it's in your thoughts, then it translates into your living. And then you do it automatically. So you do all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. If you do this, Joshua, this is what the Lord is speaking in essence. If you do this, Joshua, if you muse on the word day and night, you will be prosperous to enter into the land. So I thought, this is really good. This is very much related to musing. So if you consider, Joshua had quite a task. He had all these people behind him. And his responsibility was to bring these people into the land that had taken years to get to. And so in order to get into the land, he needed to do what? To muse on the word. Brothers and sisters, our situation is exactly the same today. We're in the same spot that Joshua was in Joshua 1:8. We are set before a land, not a physical land, but a spiritual land that we need to inherit. And this land has been promised to us. And this land is extremely rich. But it depends how you enter in, and it depends if you possess it or not. And the way you possess it is the same way that Joshua possessed it. And that is by musing on the word. It's so interesting here that the possessing the land and musing on the word are put together in this one verse. Because our experience is the same way. Instead of inheriting a physical land, we inherit Christ as our land. So A says, Joshua led the children of Israel to enter the God-promised land and to take it, possess it, allot it, and enjoy it. The land of Canaan, with all its riches, typifies the God-given Christ with all his unsearchable riches. So Ephesians 3:8 says, Paul says, to me, less than the least of all the saints, was this grace given to me to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. Paul is saying Christ is unsearchably rich. Unsearchably rich. The Bible uses a huge piece of land that's flowing with milk and honey to describe the person of Christ. Would you ever describe a person as a land? Jeremy is like, he's like the state of Washington. He's just so vast. So we usually don't do that because we're not all expansive like Christ is. Christ is so rich, he needs a large piece of land to describe him. This is the kind of Christ we have. But is this the kind of Christ you have? Is Christ to you like a huge land? Is Christ to you an unsearchably rich land that you can explore, that you can experience new every morning, every day? I think if you're truthful, if you're honest with yourself, you'd say, well, I know Christ, but only very little, in a very limited way. Well, your experience of Christ depends upon how you muse upon the word. If you learn how to muse upon the word, your experience will greatly expand. Okay, so then there's another verse, Colossians 1, 12 through 13. So once the children of Israel entered into the land, they were allotted. So if you were a citizen, if you were born as a child of Israel, is that right? As a citizen of Israel, excuse me, you had a share. You were qualified to have a piece of land in the good land. And so listen to this verse, Colossians 1, 12 through 13, or actually just 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Paul here is using the same kind of terminology as described as when Joshua entered into the land. Because in his mind, it's the same thing. When the children of Israel went into the land, everyone got a portion of land, quite a good, rich piece of land, enough to sustain you and your family and the generations to come. Everyone got a piece of land. It's not like Seattle where you have to buy your home and it's inexorbitantly expensive. No, everyone, if you're born of the tribe of Israel, then you get a piece of land, and it's yours, and it's rich. And you need to labor on it, and it becomes your sustenance, and it becomes your way of living. Paul had this in mind as he spoke Colossians. And so he's speaking to the saints. Brothers and sisters, we have a share. We're qualified because we're born of God. We have a share of this land of Christ. So the way you take your land and enjoy the land depends on how you handle the Word of God. The Word of God is your way of experiencing this land, Christ as the land. B says, God's encouragement to Joshua to take the land was in terms of Joshua's walking in the Word of God. One says, The book of the law was not to depart from his mouth, but he was to muse upon it day and night. Joshua was to be occupied with God's word and to let the word occupy him. This is interesting. So as Joshua was musing on the word day and night, and not just him, but also the children of Israel, as they were musing on the word, not only was he occupied with the word begins to occupy him, and it changes his living. What does this mean? Well, we have this verse in the New Testament, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. I think we're all familiar, or a lot of us are familiar with this verse. There's even a tune to this verse. But have you ever mused on this verse? Have you ever considered what it really means? So I was musing on this verse this morning, and this is what I received from just my musing. It says, let the word of Christ dwell. Dwell. And I was considering this word dwell. Dwell is only, this verb is used only for living things. You wouldn't say this podium dwells in the library. But you would say, oh, I dwell in, or my cat dwells in, well, anyways. You would use dwell for living things. That implies, so in this verse when it says the word of Christ dwells in you, that implies the word of Christ is living. It also implies it's a person. So the word of Christ shouldn't be separated from Christ himself. It's just Christ himself. The word is Christ himself. Amen. And it should what? Dwell in us. It should live in us. And it should live in us what? Dwell in us richly. What does it mean to be richly? How do I get the word richly? As I was considering this verse, I was asking myself, Lord, I have to confess, your word is not that rich. It doesn't dwell in me richly. I do know the word a little, but I have to confess it's not to the extent where I can say that it dwells in me richly. And I just spent some time just confessing and praying to the Lord. Lord, I want your word to dwell in me richly. Then I continued on, and it says, it should dwell in us richly in all wisdom. Oh, it should be our wisdom. Do you have wisdom? Maybe in some things, but we need wisdom in the word of Christ. And it dwells in us richly in all wisdom. How? How do I get the word in me richly? It's by teaching and admonishing one another. So I always thought, I need to get the word into me richly so that I could teach others or I could admonish others. Actually, if you use the word to teach and to admonish others, it starts to dwell in you richly. Do you understand? It's like a cycle. And we teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is very interesting. We all know how to teach with words, but do you know how to teach with songs? Have you ever seen, have your parents ever rebuked you with a song? You didn't take out the trash? Oh, no. That'd be very strange. But this is what the verse says. We need to learn how to teach one another and admonish one another with psalms and hymns. Psalms and hymns. So I was considering, how do you do this? And then I remember this song says, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. As I was singing this song, the song was teaching me, Glenn, you need to let the word dwell in you richly. So the song, singing, can admonish ourselves and it can admonish one another. And you need to sing in a certain way, not just with a beautiful voice or with vibrato. Your singing must be with grace in your hearts to God. You sing with your heart. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we sing with just our vocal cords. We sing so that we can sound good. But that doesn't reap the benefit. To sing, for the word to dwell in you richly, you need to sing with grace in your hearts to God. You need to sing with your whole heart, your whole being. and consider the words in the songs to admonish you. Okay, this is just what I got from musing on this verse this morning. So musing, it's just to slow down when you read. Oftentimes when we read verses, we read them very quickly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Okay, I got it. But you need to stop and consider every single word. This, of course, if you do this, obviously you can't read a whole chapter or large portions of the Bible, but you can focus on one or two verses, and if you do this, it becomes yours. That verse will be different to you. That verse will speak to you. It will be the vehicle or the avenue for the Lord to speak to you and to teach you. Okay, so as we do this, it says, as we do this, we will be filled with the word. Let's read B, subpoint 2 together. Prosperity and success. We don't use these words very often. But here, it's in the word. Prosperity and success. Not in starting your own business. Not in your studying. But prosperity and taking Christ as your good land. And success in possessing Christ as your good land. We need prosperity and we need success in these in this area of our Christian life. Okay, some of us are a little bit tired, and I sympathize. So let's all stand up, and we'll read Roman numeral 2 together to get the blood flowing a little bit. Go. To muse on the word of God
is to enjoy God's word as his breath, and thus to be infused with God, to breathe God in, and to receive spiritual nourishment.
Brothers, read it with a strong spirit.
To muse on the word of God is to enjoy God's word as his breath, and thus to be infused with God, to breathe God in, and to receive spiritual nourishment.
Sisters, why don't you do it a little stronger? Very good. Okay, you can be seated. To exercise your spirit, it doesn't necessarily translate as being louder, but being louder does help sometimes, especially if you're tired. So in the mornings, I was observing some of you, not spying on you, but just kind of observing in a general way. Some of you were there in deep, deep thought, like this. And I couldn't tell if you were having morning revival, or you're in deep sleep. If I was in that position, I would be sleeping. For sure I would be sleeping, because I'm tired. So I had to walk around, and I had to use my mouth. Brothers and sisters, musing requires moving your mouth. That's why it says it should not depart from your mouth. You may not always be able to speak audibly, but you should be able to, at the very least, move your mouth. Move your mouth. Reading the Bible is designed to be read out loud. Did you know that, brothers and sisters? The Bible is written down from people speaking. People spoke the word. They spoke the word inspired by the Spirit, and it was written down. So, because it was spoken, when we read it, we all should speak it. Amen. Read it out loud. When you do your Bible reading, don't just read it to yourself in your head. You might fall asleep. Try reading it out loud. And if you're self-conscious, just move your lips. If you're really self-conscious, put the cell phone to your head. Like this. Then people won't think you're so weird. They'll think you're talking to someone else. Or put a Bluetooth. Just put a piece of Bluetooth in your... And then just talk to the Lord. Lord, I love you. Lord Jesus, you're so sweet. Lord Jesus. And no one will think anything of it. It just looks like anything else, everyone else. We need to learn, brothers and sisters, to move our mouth when you spend time with the Lord. When you read the word, move your mouth. Speak it. Be audible. Be active. You can't just do it in a very passive way. You can't inherit the land in a passive way. Oh, I'm going to inherit the land by sitting in this couch. Here we go. No, it doesn't work like that. Nothing happens if you just sit. You have to get up and you have to exercise. You need to walk. You need to take every step. Every step you take becomes yours. Amen. Christian life is the same. If you want to read the word, if you want Christ to be real to you, if you want to enjoy the Lord, you need to be active. Move your mouth. Read the word. Consider every word. Don't read it in a superficial way. Don't read it in a rote way. Read it in a way to consider. Read it with an attitude, I need to get the Lord out of this. If you read in this way, it will revolutionize not just your reading, it will revolutionize your whole Christian life. Okay, so we read Roman numeral 2, and there's a verse here, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. Those who know it, let's recite it together. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for... Okay, so we do know it, but this shows us that we maybe have not mused on this verse before. So I a couple days ago, I mused on this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture. Oh, every single verse. It doesn't say some scriptures or the really good ones in the New Testament. No, it says all scripture is God-breathed. That means you can... In every single verse, there's God's breath. And you can breathe it into you. Breathe out your oldness and breathe in God's breath. And not only is it all scripture is God-breathed, it's profitable. Profitable for what? For teaching. For teaching. And then I was touched by, in my time of musing, I was touched by these things that you guys were tripping on. Teaching for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I was considering, why is it these things and why is it in this order? For conviction. What's conviction? Well, when the word gets breathed into you, you get convicted. That should be a normal function of the word. Last night, last night there was some speaking of the word, I got convicted. I got convicted within. Okay, that's what the word does. It convicts us. Then what it does is it corrects us. So that's the next word. For conviction, for correction. It corrects. After we get convicted, Lord, I'm sorry, this is, this part of me is wrong. Then I get corrected. Then after a correction, you get instructed. That's the third item. Instruction for what? Or instructions... Instruction in what? In righteousness. So when we get into the word, it's profitable for teaching. And when we receive the teaching in the word, it convicts us, first of all, then it corrects us, and then it instructs us in the right way, in righteousness. This is all by slowing down when we read the word. We know this verse. I know this verse. I know it. I can sing the verse to you. I knew it from childhood, but when I mused on it, it became a different verse. All these words it just came to life to me. So, praise the Lord. Okay, A, rich in meaning. The Hebrew word for muse, often translated meditate in the King James Version, implies to worship, to converse with oneself, and to speak aloud. Reading the word should be spoken out loud, or at least with our mouth moving. Okay, let me just read this little portion from the ministry. Musing upon the word in this way is even richer, broader, and more inclusive than prayer reading, for it includes prayer, worship, enjoyment, conversation, bowing down, and even lifting up our hands to receive God's word. It also includes rejoicing, praising, shouting, and even weeping before the Lord. How does this describe your time when you read the word? Not mine, honestly, but it should. If we learn to slow down and to muse over the word, consider it carefully, it should bring us into a conversation with the Lord. And if we touch the Lord, it should cause us to praise him or to shout or even to weep. It should convict us. It should correct us. It should instruct us. The word is so rich, but in order to mine the riches out of the word, you need to slow down and to consider it carefully and thoroughly. Okay, let's read B together. Amen. So we need to carefully consider prayer, speaking to one ourselves, and praising the Lord should be included in musing the word. When you read, one benefit of musing on the word is you get light. Let me read this little portion from the Life Study of Psalms. It says in several verses, the writer of Psalms 119 tells us that he mused upon God's word. To muse on the word is to taste it through careful considering. Thus, musing is a kind of enjoyment. And this is what Brother Lee wrote. I can testify that most of the enlightenment I receive comes by musing on the word early in the morning. As I muse on the word, I think about it with much consideration in a detailed way. This is the person who wrote this just happened to have, also happens to have written all the life studies. Have you ever heard of the life studies? The exposition of every single book in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. This person has received much enlightenment. And now he's telling you the secret where he receives most of his enlightenment. Let me read this to you again. I can testify that most of the enlightenment I receive comes from musing on the word early in the morning. As I muse on the word, I think about it. Now he's explaining to you how he muses. I think about it with much consideration in a detailed way. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to do this, to consider the word in a detailed way, to receive much enlightenment. If we learn how to do this, the word will be living and operative to us. This will change us, brothers and sisters. 1 week of good exercise is very good, but it will not change you for the rest of your life. This, brothers and sisters, will change you. Amen.
Praise the Lord for musing. Musing on his word. I have to testify, I got a lot of help, so I'm very thankful to be able to, that I got to get into this. Let's all read Roman numeral 3.
To muse upon the word is to chew the cud, like a cow eating grass.
So the reference there is Leviticus 11:3, and I'll read this verse. Leviticus 11:3, whatever has a divided hoof, that is, has its hoof split in two, and choose the cud among the beasts, that you may eat. So this verse, like the first verse, like Joshua 1:8 in Roman numeral 1, just like Brother Glenn said, I was reading it and I thought, this is an interesting verse. It's talking about animals with divided hoofs, and it talks about how they eat, right? So the background of this, as you may know, is in Leviticus, the children of Israel had to eat animals that were clean. They had to eat a certain diet, and they couldn't eat. There was, in this chapter, the Jehovah brought out what was an unclean animal and what was a clean animal. And so one of the specifications was it had to have a divided hoof. And so here is an example, again, of musing, right? face value, this verse seems a little peculiar, honestly. To me, it did. But I just started to pray over it. And I, whatever has a divided hoof, Lord, whatever has a divided hoof. You know, praying in this way, we need to use our spirit, right? So, who knows what's the leading part of our soul? It's our mind, right? So if we approach the word in our mind, that's not enough. We need to approach it with our spirit.
Amen.
And what's the leading part of our spirit? It's our conscience, right? I've heard some of you said it. So right here, if we exercise our spirit as we're musing, I feel like that's the organ. That's the way to get to allow the benefit to come in. So right away, the Lord touched me, divided hoof. You know, John, how much of your being is just okay with the world? Where's the division? Do you allow me to divide? You know, he wants to divide our soul and our spirit in Hebrews, right? And also, this verse talks about chewing the cud. So this is akin to the word muse. It's not a I don't think, unless you grew up on a cattle farm, you probably don't, you may not be familiar with the term chewing the cud, right? So I did a little homework on this. It's interesting, when cows eat, they eat something that we can't eat, right? They eat grass or they eat hay. It's very fibrous. And humans can't eat grass and get any benefit. So what a cow does, the way that God made cows so they could exist off of what's around them, is a couple things. And it was very interesting to look into this. So first of all, they have four stomachs, right? They have four different stomachs. And they also chew it very slowly, very deliberately. If you've ever seen them, right, their jaw is moving everywhere. It's just chewing very, very definitely. So to chew the cud, that's a picture to us. God didn't make cows in an arbitrary way. He made it. Of Leviticus 11:3 is a picture to us of a spiritual reality, right? So we need to be in the Word in this way. So, okay, just a little bit here. So they have the first two stomachs they have are where the food goes first. Actually, it's interesting. When they eat it, the first time they chew it is not thoroughly. It goes into their first two stomachs and it gets processed there, right? And then later on, it comes back up into their mouth and they chew it again. It sounds strange a little bit to us, but it's a very good picture. And so then they chew it more thoroughly the second time, and after they've already digested it some. And so then they eat it again, right? It goes down their esophagus again, and then it goes into the third and fourth stomachs. And from there, now this is really neat right here. You got to bear with me, but I really was supplied by the Lord. I feel like getting into this. So I think a lot of us knew cows had multiple stomachs, right? But I'm reading this article, and it says, after the third and fourth stomach, it enters their bloodstream. It becomes supply to their body, right? And then the article said right away, a good portion of it goes right to their udder. And so what's the significance? So if we muse in the Word, you know, I got a little convicted. I think a lot of us did yesterday about the gospel. But we chew on the Word in a more thorough way. And then some milk is made, right? To supply others. That's exactly what the brother shared, right? You chew on it, and then you overflow. Your enjoyment just becomes something that others can partake of. So actually, you know, if this brother is let's say, okay, I'm the unbeliever on campus. He wants to share about Christ with me, right? He comes up and says, you know, God made man in his image, Genesis 1:26. I might think, okay, well, what's that about? You know, but if he's chewed on it, he shares it in a way that I can drink it as milk. So we first have to kind of digest it, right? We have to get the essence out of it. Another definition of musing, actually, okay, let's go on and read A under 3. So reconsideration, right? It's good to consider the Word, but then we need to reconsider the Word. And I was impressed how Brother Glenn, he was helping me yesterday to get into this. And so I got a dictionary definition as well. Merriam-Webster says, to reconsider means to think carefully about something or someone again, especially in order to change a choice or decision you've already made. So one of our verses yesterday was John 4:24. I grew up in the church life. I've heard this verse a number of times. And so I was like, oh, wow, I love that this one's on the verse. I hardly have to try. I just, you know, God has spared those who worship Him, spirit and truthfulness. Amen. Okay, I got that one. Move on, right? But reconsider and consider it again. I've already come to a decision about that. Oh, yeah, God is spirit. I know that. Okay. I need to do worship in the spirit and truthfulness. But I've already made a decision that I know that verse or that I think I have a, you know. And so I thought, I'm giving a message I'm using. I need to practice this a little bit. Otherwise, what am I going to say, right? So it means also to, in a slow way. So even the first phrase caught me. God is. God is. God is spirit. But even God is. Just these two words. What does that mean? My conscience is the leading part of my spirit. So that even brings about, Lord, I am not. You are, and I am not, Lord. How much here am I being something, and I'm trying to be somebody here at this training even? But how much do I let Him be, right, my real person? So, anyways, I just am touched. A lot of verses even we already know, but it's exciting. It's enjoyable. You take some time to really, really do the slow chewing, right? And then something more will come out. We'll discover it in a whole new way. Okay, we could read B.
As He leads us on the word of God, we should chew the cud. If we take in the word too quickly, we shall not have very much enjoyment. But if we chew the cud, as we take in the word, our enjoyment will increase.
Amen. So who would like their enjoyment of the word to increase?
Amen.
Amen. I think that's why we're all here, right? You know, a burden we had too in this is we didn't want to just teach you all about something. We got benefit, you know. It's not a doctrine. This is not a doctrine, right? We don't want to go away thinking, oh, that's neat, right? But we want to, this is so applicable to us. And I think all of us would sign up if we said, how can the word become more rich to me, more enjoyable? How can it affect my life in a way that it can flow out? It's in a if we chew it finely, right? So now let's all read Roman numeral 4. I'm sorry, we skipped C, didn't we? Okay, usually musing upon the word will be slower and finer than pray reading the word. So even that catches our attention, right? If you're like me, I heard the term pray reading. I've experienced it really livingly. A lot of times, even with others, it's enjoyable corporately. But it's always as Brother Phil shared yesterday, the early believers, right? They were touching it in a real living way. I felt that was such a healthy call to us that we wouldn't be familiar or comfortable with these terms that we may have heard, or maybe some of you got saved on the campus, but perhaps it's been a year, 2 years, right? Okay, Roman numeral 4, we could all read. Amen. So I think that's a big key here, is the word, you know, water is made to be handled by our mouth, our kidneys, our physical body, right? And we do need the word in our mind. So we can't let the devil bother us if we're trying to memorize it in a way to get the word, right? Because even that's why Saul was a useful vessel to the Lord. He knew the word, but then the Lord had a breakthrough in him. And he became one who was handling it with his spirit. So, just once again, I was really touched. There's an older brother in Spokane, and he in Cheney, he lives in, anyways. He helps us. He helps the young people. He helps the saints to really be clear that when we pray, read, the leading part of our spirit is our conscience. You know, it's actually abnormal if we touch the word and we just have no sense, no conviction. And we don't need to go hunting for it, right? But the Lord, he'll touch us on things. Amen. And then you don't, right, don't get introspective. Just, amen, Lord, that's right. Even 1 Corinthians 1:9, we're all memorizing it, right? God is faithful. God is faithful. Lord, I'm not that faithful, but you're the faithful one in me. It can be, you know, if we slow down and eat it in this way. And I just wanted to say one other thing, you know. So all scripture, as Glenn brought, all scripture is God-breathed. Something recently I've realized if I want to pray or get into a verse. So a lot of us, right, you're in college. A big part of college is maybe for the first time you're going and buying your own groceries. Perhaps you did that younger, but, you know, some of us. Or you choose whatever you want, you know. Maybe mom and dad cooked everything. Now you have a choice, right? If you're like me in college, you walk into the store and you go for what isn't so good for your body, but what tastes the best, right? So even in the Word, we can be like that. We go to the ice cream aisle in the Word, right? That's, you know, verses about love, about light, the God of glory. You know, I can do all things through Christ. Now, all of these are good verses. I'm not trying to discount them, right? But the point is, remember with the cow, grass is fibrous. Grass has, wasn't it cellulose? It's hard. It takes some time to digest. So we are actually, you know, not giving the Lord the way if we only get those verses that appeal to our mind or appeal to our emotions. So any word, right? Any word can be benefit to us. And what I was surprised with in getting into this is sometimes it's really the words that you don't think are going to help you. Like a verse about chewing the cud in a divided hoof, right? Ice cream is, it just goes right down your throat with a little bit of temperature. It just kind of, right? So, but things that are harder are more sustaining, you know, right? They take some chewing, some hard, dense bread, some steak. So, amen. Okay, let's all read A under 4. Amen. Amen. Much feeling. Amen. And then we should, on this next one, let's emphasize the calm. Well, it's, okay. I'll read it. We should be calm. We should turn to our spirit. We should behold him. And then pray according to the inward sense. Amen. So the Lord, I just had the impression, you know, the Lord is for us. And he wants to come back, right? So he wants to have a way, and that way is through his word. And just one other thing, and then I'll, so yesterday it was shared this kind of template of a 30 minutes, right? So I think of a clock. You think of 30 minutes is the half of it, right? So the first five was just calling on the Lord, right? Amen. And then the second five, someone help me, was confessing. Amen. And then the next five was singing, right? So that takes 15. And then, did you notice 10? It's not all increments of 5. 10 is to pray over the word. Amen. And then the last 5 is just to pray in a general way. Yeah. You know, even that touched me. A lot of times on Saturdays, I don't have to work or whatever. I have more time. And so I just, you know, just really spend some time. But I don't spend time in the word. And, you know, it's good to pray, but your mind can go a lot of places. I'm not sharing this as a condemning thing. It can be very sweet to have time with the Lord just to pray. But I'm just sharing as a help to me. I think a lot of times my mind goes all over. And the word can be an anchor. And it can be even food, right? So it's don't be discouraged, right? A lot of times it's like, I'm going to get food out of that verse, you know? But if you just spend a little time, it just becomes living, right? Amen. Amen.